I thought he might smuggle me a BLT coming out of the commissary. Because I'm scared. I'm feeling chipper. I saw a lot of juice out there. Then I'd have to join Instagram.
All right, Buccaneers fans, the fabled Ira Kaufman podcast is back. We are here at our favorite haunt, Hooters, right here on Hillsborough Avenue. So a little bit different background vibe, but the Sage will be screaming as usual. Nobody can contain him, even in different kinds of surroundings.
Indoors, outdoors, doesn't matter, Steve. Doesn't
and, of matter. Course, if you're new to the podcast, welcome aboard. We continue to get new people, Ira, which is kind of cool. And of the Sage himself is Ira Kaufman, coming up on 50 years in the business. He's in his 50th year, but we're coming up on the official 50-year anniversary in September.
And my 10 years with Joe Bucks fan
and
coming
your 10
up.
Years coming up in July. So we've got some celebrating to do.
And a birthday. I'm turning 60.
Yeah.
I started when I was 10 years old.
Is that what you're saying?
So, Sage, look, we are here because we are fresh off the practice fields at One Buck Place. You had a personal private Sage to general manager sit down with Jason Light, and you'll share what we need to know about that. We got some nuggets. We got some things to share from the field, from the news conferences, and elsewhere. So a lot on the table today. I also have reviews of our podcast to share, which is going to be a lot of fun. I think I might get to that first. No, I'll save it.
Well, we also heard from Chris Godwin, right?
Yeah, Steve? we got a lot to get to, but we're going to move pretty quickly and not peddle in too much nonsense. Yeah, rarely do we call for reviews early in the podcast or even at all. And last time I did that, we've got 6 reviews to share, so it's kind of fun.
5-star Google reviews, Steve?
We're going to get some
not
last.
Quite.
All right. We're also a mile south of Bill Curry Ford, right on Dale Mabry. 65 years, a Tampa tradition. They were once the only Ford dealership in Tampa, and they're still family-owned, Curry family, third generation, fourth generation, getting involved with running the dealership now. And you got to check out all these incredible offers. As Sean Sullivan himself says, host of the Best in Class podcast, our draft guru, and the general manager, Bill Curry Ford, he tells everybody on his podcast, and we tell him here, reach out to him. SSullivan@BillCurryFord.com. Hey, I just spit out the email. You can find him on the website, BillCurryFord.com.
Nobody else does that.
He will help you personally, whatever you need. And this is the biggest dealership, biggest service department, mobile service available at your home, tremendous showroom, state-of-the-art, body shop, whatever you need, fleet. Now they've got Ford Pro Elite. So if you have a company with a couple of trucks, you're going to get a whole nother level of service opportunity. BillCurryFord.com.
Family matters, Steve. Family matters.
And as Sean says, go to the website, BillCurryFord.com, click on Manager Specials, and you'll see all the deals you need to see. Manager Specials, and just get there. Give them a chance. Family-owned makes a difference. And Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, we're officially in storm season. Officially in storm season. We'll talk about them later, but I did want to correct the record. I appreciate that Josh Martin, owner, family-owned of Florida's Elite Restoration corrected
me. Wait a minute. We made a mistake?
We did. I did. I gave an example. I said, hey, if you call Florida's Elite Restoration at 2 in the morning, you're going to get quick response.
As soon as they open up in the morning.
I said by 5 a.m. or so, you'll have somebody calling you back and assessing your issue. Josh, let me know. Oh, no. No. 24-7 means 24-7. We're not just going to pick up the call. You will be talking to one of our managers in a matter of seconds. And you will be taking care of whatever it takes.
Somebody's going to be on the clock at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yep. So that's Florida's Elite Restoration, fire, flood, mold, storm damage, whatever you got. But check them out. 5-star Google reviews across the board, floridaselite.restoration.com.
Well, wait a minute. We got our own version of that. It's called Lead the Kemper. 24-7.
24-7.
Lead the Kemper. Something happens at 3 in the morning, somebody gets arrested, Lee's on it.
There you go. All right. So let's start with on the field. We're not just about the X's and O's, but, hey, we're walking off the field. I got a little list here, very short list. Lee, I'll ask you, though, straight up, give me 3 things that stood out to you from watching practice today that made you take a second look.
Well, one was something in general. The defense was extremely spirited today. You know, we've heard Light and Bowles talk about this countless times. They wanted juice. They wanted guys that bring some passion, some heartbeat. It's underwear football. It's freaking June. It's not even a mini camp. And these guys were hollering and screaming. I heard some guy on the defense, ones versus ones, and some guy on the sidelines, I don't know who he was talking about, but he said, "We own this mother bleep." And this is like underwear football practice.
Yeah, I heard that too. It was like a half hour left.
It started third play of practice. Benjamin Morris had a pick six against Mayfield, and the defense was into it the entire morning. They were into it. So that's number one. Number two, it jumps out at me. I hate to do this because I generally don't like to do this, but I got to say what I see. This Bowers-Sharp, Devin Culp better be worried. And I love Devin Culp, but there's a reason why he doesn't play a lot. Generally, if you can play and you can produce, you're going to be on the field. When he is on the field, he produces, but he's rarely on the field. This Sharp made two or three plays today. Every practice, he makes a play or two. He made three today. I'm not saying he's Rob Gronkowski the second, but he's something that, okay, he's catching my eye. Yes, I know it's underwear football. I know, you know, the Kenny Bell syndrome, that once the pads go on, some of these guys disappear. But he's doing something on the field, whereas Devin Culp, he left practice early with a trainer. And while he's in the locker room or the tub, the guy who might replace him is on the field making plays. One guy's missed opportunity, there's another guy's opportunity. Third one, Gainwell is quicker than I thought. Kenneth Gainwell, the slash new Bucks running back, special teams guy, whatever. He's versatile. He can catch passes. He's smaller than I thought, but he's quicker than I thought.
I want a second Lee's first impression, because that's what jumped out at me. Now, look, we've been to a lot of OTAs. We've seen excitement. We've seen enthusiasm. But it was heightened today. It was heightened, especially from the defensive standpoint. I saw a lot of juice out there. And maybe this defense is developing some pride. God knows they need it, along with tackling some guys. But definitely what I noticed. Before I even approached the gate to get into watch practice, I heard some guy bellowing, screaming nonstop. And it was the guy that Lee's been telling me about, Danny Smith. He don't shut up, Lee.
No.
He don't shut up, except when he's at a podium. He don't want to be at a podium. But on the field, he's nonstop. And I'm not saying that that automatically guarantees that their special teams are going to be any better. They can't be any worse.
Like, coverage
very
true.
Coverage units can't be any worse.
Yeah.
And anyway, I just love the energy out there. Nunez Roaches, he adds a little bit to the mix, too. You know, Muhammad.
Yeah.
These guys are hungry, Steve. These guys are hungry.
Yeah.
And God knows, they might have five different defensive starters this year. They need that. They
well,
need that.
Steve and I were talking to someone recently, this week, actually. And people in the Bucks organization are raving about Nacho. What he brings to the locker room, what he brings to a practice field. I know you don't win games in a locker room. You generally don't win games in underwear football, but they're just raving about the added energy and juice.
You know, when he's the sixth guy on the depth chart or seventh guy, that's not a bad sign, Steve.
Yeah,
he can play a little.
A few things, Sage. One, just Lee and I didn't compare notes. Jotted down a few things I wanted to mention on the podcast. Gainwell, yeah, he's quick and seems to have a good very good feel running routes out of
the
backfield.
Great hands.
Very good feel. Bowers Sharp caught a very nice deep shot and some other balls. And I asked Todd Bowles about Sharp and, hey, is he more of a deep threat than you thought? And Bowles, who didn't want to say anything all day, said, well, you know, we have to figure out if he's more of a, you know, short ball guy than we thought or a medium ball guy. And this guy, I'll say he's a good athlete. We know from, you know, what Lee and I have been told that they have very high hopes for him. And, you know, they have high hopes for every draft pick. This is not breaking news, but the guy showed up today. So we'll leave it at that. And
Culp's going to have a hard time making this team, I think.
You don't know. But he's going to have to get a lot better on special teams. And this Bowers Sharp is considered a special teams guy. So, yeah, he's probably going to have some challenges.
And Culp's not a good blocker. Like, not a good blocker.
Like I said, to me, that may be the entire story. I saw Culp walk off the field with the trainer very early on. Maybe 15 minutes in practice,
yep.
And you see Bowers Sharp making plays. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that might be the changing of the guard, so
again,
to speak.
Again, the moment they drafted Bowers Sharp and traded up 10 spots to get him in the sixth round, good night, Devin Culp. See you later. You don't trade up 10 spots to draft a guy and
they got plans for
expect
him.
To cut him.
Yeah.
And Kokeeft is back, and Durham's obviously the
and
number two
Otten's
guy.
Not going anywhere. Yeah.
So. That's that. But Ted Hurst looks the part, which is a lot of fun. Underwear football, we'll see. But I asked Chris Godwin, I said, hey, you know, Chris, every year is a different year. Right now, what do you see that's different? What's the feel, the vibe of the team that's different? And he spoke about the energy and how he likes how they got a lot of guys who are coming from different places in their careers.
A lot to prove.
Young guys, guys, prove it guys, veteran guys, and it's all come together as a high energy group, and he likes it. We'll take it.
I got a feeling Godwin's going to have a big year, Lee. I don't know why. I just have a feeling.
All about the health.
He's obviously got Mayfield's confidence in him based on 2 years previous who had a healthy Godwin. Sometimes, Steve, it takes a little longer to get back from a major injury. He had a major injury.
Yeah,
I'm expecting a big year.
He really had two of them. Forget about the knee. He had the
ankle against Baltimore.
The dislocation of the ankle, but then he got re-injured.
You know what's funny about his 24 when I'll never forget this because he had 50 catches in 7 games. 50. And you know what was different that year? He's never been known for being a huge yards after catch guy. That year in 24, yards after catch.
He was flying everywhere, flying everywhere. Now, two things from Godwin that were interesting. One, he said that Zach Robinson's offense is about 50% compatible with Liam Cohen's.
Yeah,
that's high praise.
That's the number he put on it was 50%. He said when you look at the base concepts and whatever, he said, I'll say it's half of it is Cohen's. I think a lot of Bucks fans might have thought that would be higher, but it just speaks to how every year is different, no matter who's taken over and transition, there's always transition. But Godwin, I was thinking about it, Ira, he's an X factor on a very unique level because if he gets hurt this year, God forbid, but let's say he gets hurt and has a 10-game season and it's just,
Then they're not going to really have a veteran presence in the receiver room.
Well, what I'm going to say is that if he gets hurt this year and doesn't have a strong year, he becomes one of the worst free agent signings in Bucks history.
Mm.
You paid the guy $22 million last year, and you pay him $22 million this year, and he will have done nothing. There's a lot of – I'm not saying he feels
so
that
he
pressure.
So he eclipses Hassan Reddick. He goes right past
Reddick. By far. So what I'm saying is that I don't think he feels that pressure, but the organization knows, and Jason Light knows, if Godwin doesn't hit it this year, I just re-signed an injured guy and blew $44 million for what? So it's a very interesting situation.
And then you wonder if he'll be on the roster in 2027 at that point.
I would say if that happens, I say no.
Especially if Hurst shows something. Especially.
Hurst. Not Hurst. Judd.
Hurst. Yeah, especially if Hurst shows something.
Think Bruce Hurst.
Aaron thinks it's Judd Hirsch over there lined up. But he looks great. I think he's built up his upper body a little bit. He was talking about he basically 100% said that he's healthy, not still rehabbing a little or getting fine-tuning, no, he's just ready to go. So that's
You know who's
exciting.
Also healthy from all our sources? Benjamin Morrison. Benjamin Morrison doesn't have any physical limitations now. Now he's got to show something.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's got to show something.
Well, he had a pick six today.
They like his skill set, Lee.
Well, obviously, they drafted him second round. So you better like him.
At times, he very much looked like a rookie last year.
Oh, yeah.
At times.
Yes,
so,
most of the time, unfortunately.
So today, Jason Light, general manager, showed the proper respect and said, Ira, let's spend a little time together, and you guys tell us what happened. We don't even know. We're fresh off
Well, first thing, I thought he might smuggle me a BLT coming out of the commissary. I don't get that. Not even a fresh splash of water in a bottle. But my opening question, I start fastly. I'm like Mario Andretti coming off the starter's gun. Is this still an ascending team, Mr. Light? Now, remember, that was his line last year. We're ascending. And he had the proof to back it up, Lee. They went from 8 to 9 and from 9 to 10. That's an ascending team.
Yep.
Now, Steve, you go from 10 to 8. You can blame injuries all you want. You're not ascending. His point, and I think there's a lot to be said for it, we have a large core of good young players that I don't think are most of them are being recognized on the national basis. Now, when he said that, I immediately butted in, which I've been known to do, Lee. You've seen me in many interviews. I don't even let the guy finish a sentence usually. And I said, Jason, the one guy that I'm thinking of, when you just said that doesn't have a lot of national exposure, that I think can be really good, is Jalen McMillan.
Possibly.
He said, absolutely. I think he's going to light it up, Lee. I do, because the opportunity's there without Mike Evans on the roster and forcing the ball to Evans, but that 1,000-yard season was always on Mayfield's mind. Mm. We got to feed Evans, and that's gone. And so we'll see what happens. But I'm not worried about the receiver room without Mike Evans, Lee. I'm not worried about it.
It has potential. I still think they're going to
miss
Evans.
By the way, I asked him if there was any thought of switching Bredesen and Graham Barton.
No.
No.
Yep.
No. Answer was no.
Yeah, I don't know where some people get this.
They get it from Ira because he's the only one talking about it.
When I mentioned Parrish changing and trying to keep him on the field for 100% of the snaps instead of 80, he didn't say no. He didn't say no. So we'll see what happens.
I hope Parrish is outside corner. I hope.
You okay, Lee? Would you be comfortable with another rookie, Scott, taking the snaps at slot corner?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Scott's going to be that good. And you move Parrish over, he's no longer a rookie. Move him over to the outside corner. You know, Bowles won't say that. Bowles has had how many opportunities to say, yeah, Jacob Parrish is our starting corner? Nope. He starts on, he can play nickel. And he won't say. And I sort of understand why.
Who's the odd man out, Steve? Is it McCollum or is it Morrison?
Look, he's a little hamstrung because he's not going to assign a job to Morrison now. And he's not going to pull somebody's job now. So he's got to pretend it's an open competition. But I think it's obvious that McCollum and Parrish are the leaders to be the outside corner. But let him compete. And, you know, like I said this to Lee the other day, if you name jobs in June and some guy, tweaks a calf in August, you didn't even have to go there. You could have said, well, yeah, Morrison won the job. Zion's healing and we'll see how it goes. But if you name it, then you got to backtrack, say, well, you know, the backup's got to step up. It's not good. Let him compete.
Light thinks this offense can be outstanding.
It can be.
And it can be.
It's all about health. Offensive line. We saw what it can be when the offensive line was healthy.
Had Liam Cohn calling plays, though, Lee.
That helped, but still, compared to last year, I know Grizzard is everybody's scapegoat. But before week two was finished, the Bucs were down 3 starting offensive linemen, and the other 2 were playing out of position. Before week 2 was finished, that's how much of a train wreck that was.
Ira, the great Mike Evans mystery rolls on. And I say that because I asked Chris Godwin today, first time he's been in front of the media in a long, long time. I asked him, Chris, what was that moment like for you when Mike Evans, you found out he was Tampa Bay no more? And Godwin says, quote, I'll read it to you. Honestly, I didn't believe it. There's a bunch of stuff on the internet that you can't really believe, a lot of AI stuff. And then he goes on to say he texted Baker Mayfield, is this for real? And Mayfield let him know the bad news. So 2 questions for the Sage.
I thought Mayfield and Godwin were a little tighter than that in terms of...
You mean Godwin and Evans?
Godwin and Evans.
Yeah. So my question for you, Mr. Sage, man of the world, man who's had lived life to its fullest.
That means I'm old, Lee. That's all it means.
Chris Godwin sees that Mike Evans is gone, but he doesn't text Mike Evans and say, is this for real, bro? And Mike Evans in the past year has said Chris Godwin is my best friend on the team. He's said that in an interview. And so he texts Mayfield. And then part 2 of that is, why is Chris Godwin so shocked to the core when this happens? And he doesn't find out from Evans himself.
Or Light. Or Bowles.
You know. Now, I understand these things happen quickly, but what do you make of all that?
I know what you make of it.
No, I'm asking
you. The mystery continues. You might not be wrong. Now, Lee, the word from the inside the organization, inside the building, it is uniform, which is family decision. Family decision. Who can argue with that, Lee?
Yeah.
Who can argue? But who says it's true?
There you go.
I'm of the opinion that one of the main factors, if not the main factor, is that in his quest for another Super Bowl ring, he thinks he's got a better shot with the Niners than the Bucs. Nobody in the building wants to admit that. Buck fans don't want to think about that. You're turning your back on your own team. What are you doing? You're going into
Sage, I'll agree with you that he probably thinks that way, which is what you said. But is that why he left? Those are 2 different things.
You're saying it's a factor.
Well,
but
no,
it may not
no.
Be the main
what
factor.
I'm saying is you said Mike Evans believes that he's got a better shot to win a ring with San Francisco. I'll agree with you that he probably believes that. But is that why he left? There's a disconnect.
What else is there for Mike Evans to do? Lee. Well, what else is there to do? The streak's over. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame sooner rather than later. May not be the first year. I don't think it will be. But he deserves to wear a gold jacket. Lee, isn't it about winning another Super Bowl for Mike Evans? Made more money than he can spend, Lee.
Well, the thing that adds to the mystery, and I'm going to put another, in a second here, I got another mystery step. The one that I have a difficult time embracing is, the guy took a pay cut to pay 50% taxes. He wanted out of here so bad. There's no way you can spend that.
It could be something with his wife. It could be.
Well, I tongue-in-cheek say maybe she had allergies and she was tired of the Florida atmosphere. And she was like, I'm done living with a box of Kleenex in my lap. I'll add a mystery step to what Steve's talking about. Godwin didn't know Evans was leaving.
Which is mysterious on the face of it.
Even better. Shady McCoy knew.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I heard the quote from McCoy, but he didn't say I knew Mike Evans was leaving. He said that Mike was talking about his opportunities and his interests. Now, Steve, I don't know.
Let me put it like this. This is one thing you and I can agree on, although we approach the Evans thing from different places. If I'm right, and Evans's main motivation is to win another ring, and he thinks he's got a better shot out in the land of milk and honey out there. He's not going to say that, Lee. He's not going to say that. Would he? That absolutely disenfranchises Buck fans towards him if he says that. Whereas if it's a family decision, and that's what's out there, and he doesn't say anything to deny that, I think Buck fans can live with that.
Yeah,
Lee.
It's easy to swallow, yeah.
Steve, you don't expect Mike Evans to get in front of a podium at 49ers complex and say, I just think the 49ers are a better team.
I don't see what's so wrong about that, but I do agree.
It might be taken as a disrespect
to Bucks. You know, if someone takes it as disrespect, I ask them, what was Mike Evans' famous quote after the Atlanta loss? So I don't think that's such an awful thing to say, you know, I think I can win a ring here. Okay, that's all right. But I agree with you, Ira, that it's much easier for Bucks fans to swallow if it was some family reason, whatever the heck that may be. It's a lot easier to swallow, but I don't see it as horrible of Mike Evans. Matter of fact, I'll bet you any money San Francisco fans want to hear that. They want to hear that.
Like, no question.
They want Mike Evans to say, yeah, I think we're going to win a ring here, and I can help you do it.
And I think I could be the difference.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
It's a mystery, Ira. We'll just let it go for now. I'm sure something else will come up, and it's also a bit of a mystery why Baker Mayfield has yet to talk to the media since his last interview was sort of a paid thing around the Super Bowl. And prior to that, he did an interview with Rondé Barber on the Rondé Barber Show, where he said, "Oh, Michael, he loves Tampa too much. You know, he'll be here. I'm not worried about it." So, we brought this up before, I think 10 days ago or so. Most quarterbacks have already spoken to the media because they want to
face of the franchise, Lee. Face
first day back reporting or first day at practice, and obviously there are requests for media. Hey, can we talk to the face of the franchise? And yet again, Mayfield didn't chat during
Has Mayfield talked to the local media about the departure of Mike Evans?
No. So
he has not.
It's meaningless, but there's a reason for it. There's no question. What that exact reason is, I don't know. I know you have a little information about this, Ira.
He's supposed to speak in 2 weeks. That's my information.
So I'm going to do the math before I write something on JoeBucksFan.com, and I'm going to look and see how many quarterbacks around the league have spoken so far. I bet
you want to see how many teams are waiting till mandatory minicamp.
Well,
that's right.
I bet you it's 30 starting quarterbacks have talked already since they returned for work for the 26th season. So, as Lee always says, there's no coincidences in the NFL, so there's got to be a reason.
He could have talked 2 weeks ago and then talk again during mandatory
minicamp. Sure, of course.
Nothing wrong with that.
He'll talk eventually, and there's no breaking news. Like Mayfield twisted his ankle or got a broken left arm. Or
maybe he doesn't want to talk about his contract situation.
That's probably part of it. I don't care. Yeah, he'll eventually talk, and when he talks, okay. And there's more than 50. There's 60 or 70 other players I could talk to if Mayfield's not available.
Steve, are you still convinced that he's going to have a new contract in hand before they go to Cincinnati for week one?
Convinced? No, but I still think it'll happen. Yeah.
You're like 65-35 that it'll happen?
No, I'm still over 75%. I think it's going to happen. Like, I would still bet. I had offered you a little bet. I'd still take the bet for sure.
What about my point, trying to look at it through Mayfield's eyes? I'm going to bet on myself and go in without a new contract.
We talked about this. Is he going to want to, if the Bucks make him an offer, is he going to want to gamble? Because that's what you're doing. You're gambling, you're not going to get hurt. If you got a 3-year guaranteed money deal, it looks like Sam Darnold's or something with some bonuses, and you say no thanks, you're rolling the dice on $90 million guaranteed, $60 million guaranteed. Not everybody wants to do that.
And Lee makes a great point from a Buck perspective. The way the season finished raises some questions. Lee's right.
I'd be very surprised if Mayfield leaves. Very. Not. I'll say it again. I got to see what happens this year. But I don't necessarily think that's the way the organization looks at it. I think they've already made up their mind. You know, what happens this year, so what? We got our quarterback.
So, Jason Light, what else did he tell you? Come on, give us some. What else did he tell you?
Well, I said, in my mind, the offensive line is the strength of this football team. There was no disagreement from Jason Light. There was none. He thinks Gainwell was a critical addition to this team.
I believe that.
I said, how did you get Gainwell? He had other suitors. He wanted to come here. He wanted to come here. Had knowing that Bucky Irving was on the roster. Knowing
had,
that.
Had nothing to do with zeros on a check?
He didn't think so.
Wow.
He didn't think so. They weren't going to get into a bidding war. But Gainwell's, he's going to be a big player for this team. I don't care if Irving has a good year or not. Gainwell's getting his touches.
Yeah.
He's getting his touches. And Light's very high on this offense. Like Lee says, health of the front being paramount. No question about it. Loves McMillan. Thinks Godwin's going to have a big year. Now, here's something we talked about, Steve. And he agreed with me. And I said, here's why Bain is different than some of the guys that have been here before. And I mentioned Noah Spence, Braswell, Reddick. Those were speed guys. And I said, when you're a speed, even though Reddick had accomplished some things in this league, he probably had lost some maneuverability, you know, as he got older.
Yeah.
But the Braswells, the Noah Spences, maybe even Choyinka. Light agreed that when you rely primarily on speed and you don't have an arsenal, you're probably not going to make it at the next level. And Bain is different. Bain's a power player.
Yeah.
But he also has some moves. But he's a power player. And I think that's going to make a big difference. He doesn't rely primarily on speed, Bain. And I like to thump up front. That's what I like. I like to thump.
You know, we heard about Light loves the offensive line, loves Godwin, loves McMillan. What did he hate? What did he have any concern that you could pass along?
He hated the fact that they were unable to pull out of their tailspin last year as opposed to other seasons. And he didn't argue my point about them being a terrible tackling team. He had nothing to say. And he said that's been a problem here, and I think Bowles has acknowledged that it's been a problem for more than one season. He thinks the guys that he's bringing in, Anzalone, Trotter,
Robinson.
Say what you want about Trotter, but he can play to run. Robinson, that the tackling's going to be much improved. The swarming will be back.
I hope so.
And they lost that element. It's a critical element to Buck football. You know, when the Buck defense is good, they're swarming. They haven't been doing that. So, look. Light remains undaunted no matter what happened last year, how terrible it was down the stretch. He thinks he's addressed the issues, and I think he has. I think he has. He didn't get Myles Garrett, but I think that was the smart move. Not that they had a chance anyway. This is not a bad roster, Steve. This isn't a bad roster. I asked him who you worried about in the NFC South. He didn't really want to go there, but when I mentioned New Orleans, I said, I think New Orleans is going to be good in a couple of years. He says, that quarterback's not – he likes that quarterback. He likes that quarterback. And to me, quarterback's a big question mark in Atlanta. And I don't know about Bryce Young in Carolina. We shall see.
Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, floridaselite restoration.com. Homeowners and business owners, whenever you find water, mold, storm damage, flood, that's your first phone call 24/7. And you mention the Sage, and they give you a free inspection with the best technology, the true experts. And if you need their services after the free inspection, you get $500 back. It's so simple.
And by the way, Steve, I asked Light about establishing a home field advantage, Lee, which I think has been sorely missing around here. I said, Jason, I think a lot of times you can say they're better on the road. I mentioned the Seattle game. Play better on the road. And he didn't disagree. And I don't think he knows why they haven't been able to establish a home field advantage. This year, I think it's critical because they got three home games in September. Use everything to your advantage, and we'll see what happens. I said, why can't you go 6-3? I think they got 9 home games, Steve. Go 6-3 or 7-2. That's what good teams do. They go 500 on the road and a bone up at home. Yeah. This team doesn't do that. They don't do that. And it might even help stem the flow of out-of-town fans swarming your stadium if you would develop that. I don't want to see half the stadium rooting for the Cleveland Browns in week two.
I expect that. I actually, absolutely.
The horrible Cleveland Browns?
You know how
they
many
might be lucky to win a game.
Do you know how many Ohio transplants there are in this area? There's tons of them.
That's a horrible team, Steve.
Sage, we had a whole discussion about that.
It's a horrible team.
That's okay.
Browns, they still support their team,
They support their team, and they travel and they're around. All right. So, Ira, FloridasEliteRestoration.com is the website, and you have to remember that they spent decades in the insurance business, so they know how to fight for you and work all the angles to your benefit. Check out their website, Florida's Elite Restoration.
24-7, Steve. 24-7.
Absolutely. FloridasEliteRestoration.com. And, Ira, Bill Curry Ford, you got to get to the website. We keep saying it, BillCurryFord.com. Family name, C-U-R-R-I-E. Bill Curry Ford.
Manager Specials, right, Steve?
.com. Click on Manager Specials and just soak in all the things they do. There's a lot to learn there, and you'll like what you see for sure. All right, Ira.
We're 2 weeks away from mandatory minicamp.
2 weeks away from mandatory minicamp. 2 weeks away from Baker Mayfield. Maybe you'll grill him, Ira. Who knows?
And I don't want to hear any PR guy saying at the 4-minute mark, a few more, guys. A few more. I don't want to hear it. If Mayfield,
what happens if
there.
They do that? You gonna keep asking?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep asking questions. I'm gonna say, Baker, you got a plane to catch in 4 minutes? Can you give us a little more time? Yes,
so,
I will.
Ira, we're not done. Big one I got for you is a lot of Bucks fans are annoyed that we didn't get Myles Garrett, and for me, that conjures up just being a little annoyed that we didn't get Trey Hendrickson. Not that I think we should have mortgaged the farm for Myles Garrett, but
the compensation for Hendrickson would not have been the same.
Was
it
free agent?
Myles Garrett.
Free agent. So no compensation. Your thoughts on the trade and as how it relates to Bucks fans everywhere.
I wrote, and I'm standing by it, they don't have Jared Verse to throw into that deal. And there would have been no deal without Jared Verse. The Browns insisted on it. The guy's 25 years old, Lee.
I could just hear Bucks fans now. What about Kohai Jakansi?
No. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't done anything. Verse is a 2-time Pro Bowl. He won Defensive Rookie.
No, he's Hall of Famer.
He's 25. Well, Jared Verse.
I'm talking about Verse.
I'm talking about Verse. Okay. And you know how I am about trading next year's number one draft pick. I'm dead set against it. Because I'm scared.
Oh,
I'm scared that things could go south.
Yeah.
And then you don't have a first-round pick.
When
maybe
you
to
would
get
have
a quarterback.
Yeah, especially next year, yeah.
And the Rams are all in and the Bucks aren't, Lee. This is not 2021 with Tom Brady.
Exactly.
It's not. You're an 8-9 football team.
Yeah, when they went out and got Antonio Brown and Gronk.
I'm not loading up. Garrett's great. He's fantastic. He would make them considerably better on defense.
Yeah.
No question about it. But I said they would ask for Tristan Wirfs. Maybe you do. Give him Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah, that's true.
And three draft picks.
No, you're not giving him Tristan Wirfs.
I said, no, that's a non-starter.
Essentially, you're trading one Hall of Famer for another, essentially.
You know, and Yaya Diaby's not as good as Jared Verse. He's just not. Steve, so.
Thank you for breaking news.
I don't think Buck fans should be screaming that the Bucks should have been in on the Myles Garrett sweep. And as far as A.J. Brown's concerned, they don't need him. They don't need him.
Probably not. There's still a question mark about, you know, this X receiver, and I think they hope that Hurst will be that guy.
I think he's a problem attitude guy, too.
Hurst or A.J. Brown? I'll just say this about A.J. Brown. I am so, so thankful that trade went down. I mean, I've been hearing about this trade for so freaking long. Diana Russini was in her sorority. I actually had to mute the SOB's name.
What took
I
so
got
long?
Tired of A.J. Brown. This guy, he's not Jerry Rice. I mean, he's not even Antonio Brown. Forget A.J. Brown. And I just, the only guy more overrated is Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham is just a name right now.
Yeah.
That's all he is. He hasn't done anything in 5 years. Seriously. And people act like, oh my gosh, Odell Beckham. No, he's not Michael Irvin. Calm down.
So the Bucks didn't make a huge splash, Steve. They didn't get Myles Garrett. They didn't get A.J. Brown. But they're going to have five different defensive starters this year. And I salute that because they need that.
Yep.
They need that.
Ira, would you have coughed up? Now, everybody assumes, yes, the Browns wanted Jared Verse. Okay, makes sense. Doesn't mean they wouldn't have gone different directions and taken different players. Suppose, and obviously they've got a lot of holes because they're the Browns. Suppose the Browns said, we want Winfield and Parrish.
And the draft picks?
Yeah, Winfield, Parrish, and the draft picks for Myles Garrett. Would you have done that?
Sold.
Because
that's not a hit piece on Parrish nor Winfield, but a safety in a corner for A world-class edge rusher? Hell yeah.
Well, and the three draft picks.
What three draft picks?
What, first, second, third,
well,
was
gotta
it?
Be a
yeah.
First
round
rich.
Pick, and yeah.
But Winfield and Parrott, and I love Winfield, but for this guy, oh my God.
This guy's an all-timer. He's an all-timer.
Yes.
My point is, would you have done it, and do you think the Bucks would have been interested? Let's just say it was a first, third, and a fourth.
Like, that sounds like a Ditka move.
Maybe I'm being stubborn about this first-round draft pick.
No, you're not. You're right on.
Light is charged with charting the direction of this franchise.
Mm-hmm. Not just this year.
Not just this year. And suppose they give up the first-round pick and the Bucks go 7-10.
And I know Steve hates it when I do this, but if that draft class isn't loaded, if it was just a bunch of bums, you know, like Fernando Mendoza and that's it, I would seriously think about doing it. But this draft class is going to be loaded with quarterbacks.
Do you agree when I wrote that with Myles Garrett on the roster, the Bucks still would not be favored to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl? You think that's a crazy line?
Of course it's not a crazy line, especially not knowing who they would give up. But if you just added Garrett straight up, I think they would be, might be the second or third favorite. Yeah. You know, without having given up compensation, which of course makes no sense. Ira, the X receiver part of this, look, Jackson Smith and Njigba of the Seahawks, considered a clone of Ibuka, and he made the transition from slot guy to X guy. I don't know why Ibuka can't do it. He did some of it last year. I mean, why not?
That guy's special, Steve. He's special.
I understand, but a lot of people think Ibuka is very special, too.
He might be the best receiver in football, Lee.
Yeah,
I know.
I mean, you got Nakua from the Rams, mm-hmm. great. And this guy's great.
But mm-hmm. that's who people compare Ibuka to. And
I'm not worried about Ibuka, Lee. I'm not worried about him.
Not yet, no.
I think he's going to approach 1,000 yards. I think he's going to catch 75 balls and score 7 or 8 touchdowns. I'm not worried about him. I think he hit the wall. Mayfield didn't play particularly well down the stretch. He dropped some balls, Steve.
Yeah,
he dropped some balls.
Absolutely.
Well, I thought Ben Solak dug up very interesting intel on Ibuka, that when he had a pulled hamstring, the next-gen stats, you know, they clocked these guys, and he never had that burst of speed that he had before the hamstring pull.
And he set such a high standard, Lee, in September. High.
Yeah.
I mean, starting maybe with the Atlanta game.
Yeah.
I mean, the game-winning catch.
I tell you what, Mayfield hit Ibuka on a pass today. It wasn't for a touchdown, but it looked just like that game-winning touchdown catch that he had against Atlanta.
That was a gorgeous pass in Atlanta that Mayfield threw. Yeah. Remember that?
It was just like that today. Same thing, only it wasn't for a touchdown. It was beautiful.
All right, Sage. We are heading out on this podcast.
What about the reviews?
Oh,
yeah.
Lee reminded us about the reviews.
There you go.
Can't forget the reviews. And I did want to say, you know, I wanted to clarify, the Mayfield talking to the media is not about our content. But for me, it's about the fans want to hear from you. They love you. You're the face of the franchise.
A lot's happened since the end of the season.
You don't want to talk to the fans? I mean, that's not cool. Sorry. Talk to the fans. They're there for you.
Is it his call, or are they telling him when he should talk? Or
no, it's Mayfield's decision. It doesn't even have to be the local media.
I was going
to
say.
He wants to do a sit-down with Buccaneers.com. Go for it.
Well, I was going to take it a step further, which would drive Ira bananas, but he'd go on Instagram Live. Wants to talk to fans.
Then I'd have to join Instagram.
Should already.
Yeah, I should.
There's a myriad of reasons.
Myriad. Yeah. That's a good one, Lee.
BillCurry4.com. Check them out. Shop there first. BillCurry4.com. All right, your reviews, Ira. I'm going to burn through these quickly.
What'd they do? Drop all at once over there, Steve? Or
No, they came in, and I was saving them here. All right, so, Ira, you want me to go in? I'll go in order of delivery for these reviews that came in.
Give me the names on these, too.
No names.
Oh, no names. All right.
They're the certified Apple reviews. You got to be logged into your Apple account to leave a review. So we'll just go with, the oldest one first. So there's 6 of them. Are you ready for this?
All right.
Because this is going to go in directions that you both of you have no idea where it's going.
Oh, I'm sure at least 2 of these are going to beat me up.
All right. Who's going to beat me up, Steve?
First one throws a little love my way. Says, I don't know. The guy says, I don't know what it says about me, but seeing this podcast pop up on my feed makes my day. Izbits is always cooking up some great big picture questions, and no one has their finger on the Bucks pulse more than this trio. Okay, very nice. Five stars.
Now the bottom's going to fall out. However.
All right. So this next one is.
That's the whole entirety of it?
That was a review, yeah.
Ah, thank you. Thank you.
This next one, been listening for years, and this is hands down one of the best sports podcasts out there. Iris, Steve, and Lee have built something that feels less like a podcast and more like sitting around talking Bucks football with your longtime friends every week. Ira brings the wisdom and calm perspective. Steve keeps the ship moving. And then there's Lee, who comes in like a Category 5 weather event every episode. And he goes on to list his favorite all-time Lee-isms. And because we're in a mixed company, I'm not going to scream them out like Lee would. But, you know, this team has all caps, no pass rush with exclamation points. Come on, Ira. Yeah, when Lee gets mad at you. And the legendary Craw, he writes, not Craw, Craw.
Yeah.
And more. So he praises the passion and the debates.
So he's an astute listener. Astute.
And says, I honestly look forward to every episode. Keep doing what you're doing, gentlemen. Tampa Bay Sports Media wouldn't be the same without you. So
yeah, we're two for two
that.
Over there,
two
Lee.
For two.
That's an accurate statement about wouldn't be the same without us.
There you go.
This one, very simple, straightforward. This podcast is must listening for the discerning Buck fan.
Discerning.
They need to bring on more guests and push to cover more than a select few players. But I love hearing the three opinions of men with a passion for this team. So there you go. Very nice.
The bottom's going to fall out sooner or later over here.
Yep.
This one takes a little swipe at Lee after the review that basically was a love note to Lee and all his expressions. And all right, this one says, a Bucks fan out of Salt Lake City. Longtime listener and rarely miss an episode. Love the episodes with some fiery debates.
But
Kaufman is amazing.
But
Lee can be a little repetitive. Steve does an amazing job keeping this train on the tracks. Excited for the season. Go Bucks. All right.
Can I address the repetitive? That's not the first time people have said that.
You're making my day so far, Steve. I'm feeling chipper. I'm feeling very chipper.
And wait till the last one's the best one.
The repetitive, this gentleman is not the first one and nor the last. I consider that good. And this is why. I'm not a slob like Colin Cowherd, who changes his opinion every 5 minutes.
I don't like that. Is anybody looking forward to Lee walking off the set again?
No.
Anybody mention that?
I'd much rather be repetitive than be a fraud.
Next one says, is titled, 5-star review, More Lee.
Oh, no.
The podcast is great, but we need more of Lee and less of those two other Nudniks.
Nudniks.
Yeah, which is what you always call us. So that was well played. Well played there.
Hey, Lee, you got a fan over there.
And,
I wonder how many beers he had. No, thank you, though.
This one I'm going to edit a little bit because it's quite long, but it starts with the iconic. You ready for this, Ira? Starts with the iconic. Ira is a living national treasure, the only surviving serious sports journalist covering the Bucks. His insights are grounded in genuine historical understanding of the team and the broader sports landscape. That's how it starts.
I'm going to get hammered.
Continue on, Steve.
I'm going to get hammered.
No hammering.
All right.
The fan says Lee and I are dedicated and passionate. He feels that the death of Bucks coverage, he doesn't like it. And local news and the demise, and he talks about some other things.
Does he want us to do more than two podcasts? Any yakking about that?
No yakking. Just says finishes, in a better world, the team would be better covered with many more interesting and informed reporters and opinions. Not Joe Bucks fans' fault that they're one of the last ones standing. So,
wow.
Quality reviews there, Ira. National treasure you are.
Were those all within the last couple of weeks, Steve?
All within the last week. Yeah, all within the last week. All right. Sage is out of here. He's going to be riding high.
We're coming back later in the week.
Yes, his head may not fit in his cherry red Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford after those incredible reviews.
It's going to cost you in your paycheck over there, Steve.
Hmm.